Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is Maddie from 22 Below, and this episode is about our creative process as a band. We talk about how we write songs, how we come up with new ideas, what we do for production, and also how we work together. I hope you like this one.
So we're running. Guys, we're back again. Jan, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we discussed that earlier on, and the process of our creation, or the process of creation of our music and the way we work together.
Because in this at this moment, we most of the time, like a couple of us, they come together in our little home studios, and we have some ideas, we have some recorded home demos, and we work from there. But there's different ways to approach it, Maddie.
Yeah, I think it also depends on who has the basis of the idea. Like sometimes, like any one of us will come with like an idea either on a guitar or like a beat or I don't know, like whatever it is. And then from there we start to decide, we start to build on it. So I think we are all like songwriters, I guess, or creators there in there. And then sometimes we start with nothing, and sometimes we start with like a complete song already.
Yeah, but often it's like you have this first idea, and you two guys get together and just run through the ideas and check what inspires most, right? And from there, it's taken back to everyone to do their stuff and inspire back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I really like about the process, because sometimes like the last one of the last songs we recorded, it was just a beat that Jan, you sent us a beat, and it wasn't even a beat like created to be a beat, but you recorded.
I just brought a new drum kit and I recorded a few bars. Really?
Yeah, that was it. And you sent us like 8 or 16 bars or whatever, and we just took the beat, and we really liked it. And we just, I remember that Maddie was at my place, and we just grabbed the beat, put it on the timeline, and we just were like, okay, so what do we feel with this? And then we started, I think Maddie, you started like with a synthesizer melody creation over it. It was the Zero Sugar song that we did.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And from then on, we created it. But there's also like different approaches on that, because we also sometimes... Bart brings a guitar riff with an idea, like in a small demo form, or sometimes Maddie comes up with like a full chorus and verse of a song, like with vocals. So it just depends on who's coming up with what, and I think that's what keeps us creative in a way.
Yeah.
And I do think it's interesting to at least for me, because I used to always write by myself. And I think it's really interesting to now just sit in a room where there's multiple people working on something and then just writing there. Like it creates a different different atmosphere, I think. And also you're writing out of a different feeling,
yeah.
I think. Because when I'm at home, I usually write because like I already feel inspired. And when we are working, I get inspired through the song.
As well. You sound like a robot.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Oh,
that's
great.
Really cool. Great sound effect. Let's use it on the song.
Thanks.
I like it. So no, but in that way, I also like the process of forwarding the stuff to each other. For example, if Jan created a beat and he forwards the beat to us, or he just recorded some stuff and then an idea, he sends it to me or to Maddie, or maybe in a Dropbox, and to have it listened to, and so the other people can grab it and use it to create something. I think that's a really nice way of working together. It's completely different than being a band in a rehearsal area,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and coming up with riffs or stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, that's funny, but I think that's also why we. That developed, because we are not coming together with a whole band, all four of us, like a couple of times a week, because everybody has other stuff to do. We are not already at a point where we can make this our living. So we have to do separate things, different things. Everybody has different things he's working on. to earn some money. This is the only way to keep it creative, and keep the flow going, because otherwise it would, if you would first start writing the songs and work everything out with all of us, it's much more difficult to find the perfect moment where everybody's available and enough time. And now it's more an ongoing process, and it goes from song to song. And we build a much bigger library in a shorter time than if we would have done it the old-fashioned way, like writing demos and getting together, working out ideas, getting back together again, and record everything for real. And now actually the demo is for 50% the final product already.
Yeah.
So yeah. Everything that's recorded is recorded with the intention of being able to get on the record and to be audio-wise good enough to make the record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. And that doesn't mean that there's not a moment where we can redo stuff or do stuff differently or that's always possible. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. It's a different kind of way, but nah. I think it works for us. It works really well, yeah.
Yeah, and I think also it's kind of how we started everything, because we didn't start like in a rehearsal setting. Like we started in the studio, and we didn't really think about having limitations. Like, how are we going to do this? Because we didn't have a drummer back then. We just started to make music because we were just felt like making some music. So it wasn't really about creating anything, actually, like not really like a certain genre or like we were just starting off something and see if we had fun doing it, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's the way I really like the creating, and like creating in this way gives a lot of opportunities, but it also gives a lot of speed. Like Jan, what you said, the process is really, it's a speedy process, I always say, but it's also, there's no limitations. Like what you said, Maddie, when we started, it was just like on the attic and our little home studio creating some stuff. And we weren't thinking about how we're going to play this live or if and in what way or in what setting, or we were just creating the music that we really wanted to create. And that was the first step. And after that, I really liked that when we became a band, that the process even got better and even got even more creative with the different drives and different thoughts and different opinions of the people on a demo. And that created, I think that created a sound or the songs that we are making now at this moment. Yeah. And mm-hmm. But I one of the things I like best is there's no limitations in sounds or instruments or whatever that we want to use. If we want to use a violin, we'll record a violin. If we want to do a synthesizer or a beat, we'll create that. Or if we want to have a song with just guitar and vocals, we'll do that. Just whatever we want to do. And
yeah,
I really like that. And the songs are like pretty different up till now. Like but there are still like one, I always call it like one catalog with different songs. But if you hear a song from our band, I'm pretty sure you know, it's that band, because it's got the same sound, different songs, but the same sound and the same vibe and the same
feeling. Yeah, but I think that's I mean, obviously Maddie is the most important part in making it one line of songs, because it's always her voice and her way of singing.
Yep.
But other than that, everybody also doesn't have to compromise his sound. No. That's how it feels to me. I mean, I've been in a lot of and I still am in a lot of situations where the sound is has to be a certain way to fit in a project. And because this is our band, it feels like I do whatever I like, as long as it works. And everybody is thinking like that. I think it's and that makes the sound the band, because I record the drums and play the drums and have them sound the way I like it for this band. And because we decided that it works, it works. And that gives, together with Maddie's voice and the, yeah, the synths are always also coming from the same point of view, I think. So they are obviously sample-based, but they are, you select them based on what you like. And so there's also a line in that of a certain sound or a certain structure in a sound that you like. And that makes it all, one line that is where the song is the narrative, but the sound is a thing that stands on itself. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, to me, it does. I really like the approach that when we recorded a song, I usually grab like an addictive drums, like a MIDI drums, to have it as a guide for a demo or for Maddie to sing on if she wants to do a demo singing. We'll just program some drums quickly, and then we send it to you without the drums. And I always like it that it comes back in a different way than I expected it. Like not just sound wise, but also like playing wise. And of course, you always with the MIDI drums we use as a demo, we give a vibe or a tempo that we prefer. But I like it that sometimes you turn it around, like BPM wise or like parts wise, but especially sound wise, because it's always like your sound that I just you always send me like a stereo track, like here's the drum, Polly, good luck. Yeah. And that's what I like. I really like it because in a way it's there's a limitation in what to do, but not I don't consider it to be a limitation. I consider it to be that's what it's sounding like, and we're not going to change any of that, and we'll adjust some other stuff around it to make it sound like all the other songs, or to make it fit, or to make it work.
And we can always, still always get back. I mean, if there's something in the way, you just come back to me and say, well, there's too much low end or too much mid range. Can you just shape that a little bit more?
But I like it that the way that it is, that if you send it to me like here's the drums, I like it because it makes Maddie, me, and Bart creative to work around that part, and not as much that we say, oh, Jan, it's better to play that drums like that or like that. No, it's just, oh, okay, so if the drum goes like that, it's better to do the guitar, the synths, or the vocals like this because it will fit better. And that's what I like, because otherwise maybe the scope would be too wide. But in this way, it becomes like fast, and especially it becomes working in a way that we're used to, but it also is working in a way that we like working, because like what you said, I like this kind of drum sound. So that's the sound of the band's going to be. And it's the same with my bass. I like it to sound like that. So we'll try to fit it on the drums and you do your magic stuff in the studio to make it work it frequent wise with the frequencies wise. But I like that way of working because it speeds up the process like really, really, really good.
And I think it was really funny what we did or what you are editing now, that the we did a song Zero Sugar, and that was based on the beat I sent it, and you chopped the beat a little and made some loops for the verse and for the chorus, and based the whole song on that, and what we just did because of the whole quarantine thing is that we took it back and played it like a band would do it normally. And that's really funny that that's exactly twisted around. I mean that you make it from something that's real, and then you make it like a loop and a thing, and then you take it back and make it real again. I like that really a lot. That was fun.
I like that when we go rehearse, because like when we went on tour for the first time, we started playing. We started rehearsing the songs
for the first time.
Time, we never played the songs. We created the songs. We wrote them together. We were really happy with it. And then we went into a studio. Okay, how are we going to do this? Yeah. Let's see how we're going to do it. And I really like that approach. It's so for me, it's the first time working like this.
Yeah.
But in a way, it also, again, it's speeding up because you know, okay, so this is what the song sounds like. This is how we're going to play it. And I like the creative part of like, okay, so maybe live we won't have, we won't be able to use that kind of sound or that synthesizer or that stuff. And to find a workaround on that, I really like
that.
Yeah, me too. I really like the...
And that's always evolving too. I mean, when we rehearsed in the beginning this year for actually the tour we would be on right now, but we are not because
we are not. Nope.
We all know why. Yeah.
We all know why. We also went quite from scratch again. So and we also left a lot of stuff out for live that we need for the production for the song for the recording, but we don't need live. We don't need that for live to be exactly the same because it's different energy wise.
Give me an example.
For instance, the song "Wait" we did. There's a lot of additional lyrics and vocals and vibes going on underneath the sound. And when we played it in the rehearsal, we just played it basically with. I think we even left out the beat and everything. I think we just played it as a four piece, and that was funny because there are additional guitars on there, there are key stuff on there, there are multiple vocals, and we just did it as a four piece band. And even that worked. It's not that we said, well, okay, we will skip everything. So we're still thinking about what can we get into there? What can we leave out?
We needed to use the theme though. Yes. Like the synthesizer theme that was like pretty.
That's true. Solid
but that was the only thing.
Even though the recording we did has much more layers in it, but we just didn't need it. We didn't have the feeling that we needed it. Live, and that's also funny that the live thing stays fresh and differs because when we did our first tour, what was it, 2017, we had more the tendency to put everything that we had on the recording also on the backing track. And because we're not doing that anymore, it gives us a little bit more room for a live vibe, for live timing, and which makes it a little bit more maybe open and fresher and not so strict.
It's different than the album, and I remember that when we played the French tour with the Suicidal Tendencies. And Mike viewed us, looked at us at stage a couple of times, or he viewed us on stage a couple of times. And I remember him saying, because he knew some of the songs that we gave to him, and he said, "I really like the thing that live. It's more like a band vibe, and it's more like a rock vibe, and it differs from the album version. But in a way, that's good. And in a way, I like that." And I was thinking about it like, okay, but should we make the album versions more heavy then or more band-like? But in a way, I really like it that it differs from, that there's a difference between like the live and the album. Yeah. Because if I see a band play live and it's exactly like on the album, 9 out of 10, times I'm wondering, okay, so is there like a complete backing track
it gets boring also.
It gets boring a little bit because
but I think it's also nice for the energy on stage if it's a little bit more heavy and a little bit more real, I think.
Yeah, it's a little bit more raw oak, which makes it a little bit more uncontrolled, and I think that's for rock music, that's always a good thing to have. I mean, there are certain kinds of music where it's really nice that it stays controlled. If you have a major pop production live, like don't know, Madonna, Taylor Swift, whatever.
Christina Aguilera.
Yes, but that needs to be really neat because there's so much going on, and the videos has to be sync, and so it's impossible to do that without a click track, without backings, without. But in our case, I mean, in the end, it's just a rock band. It's just four people, and I think. it's always nice when you made a song that works with just a band, four-piece band, and the song stays the song, then it's a good song. If it comes across, then it's a good song, and you can put everything around it and make it bigger and or smaller and what, but that's the basic principle for a rock band. I think that it needs to work with vocals, guitar, drums, and bass.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and I think it's also really fun, like something that we say a lot, at least. I say it a lot, is that when we're creating something and somebody's like, maybe that's a little bit too far or too weird, that we always just say, we do whatever the fuck we want, you know? Yeah. Like, we don't have anybody that tells us we cannot do anything.
No.
And I think it's really good to push ourselves, like, is this too weird? Do we care also? No, we don't. So, you know, we just do what we feel in that moment.
Yeah,
sounds cool or it's interesting, and don't really think about like, oh, is it like commercially interesting or is it, I don't know.
That's the same with the instrument types that we like to choose whatever we want. And it's the same with the song types. Like there's a lot of different songs going to be on the release that we will have. That's like from an up-tempo rock song to like a beat-based, like the Zero Sugar song. It's like a beat-based. I always think of it like a hip-hop R&B based kind of song, but if you play it next to like a more up-tempo song like Rooftop or whatever, it's still the same band, it's still the same vibe, it's still the same, in my opinion, the same the same, how do you say that, the same vibe in a way. So
and I think it's, because we are creating it not all at once but from song to song, it's really nice that you also hear the how everything is, how the evolution in our recordings are, and what we've learned from earlier recordings, and I think that's always great. I mean, you can go into a studio and record a session and play your 12 songs and they sound basically the same, and that's the sound of the record. But I mean, the idea of records nowadays is a little outdated. I mean, I still love a record, but it doesn't necessarily need to be recorded in one session, because there's simply not the money anymore to go to a big studio, take 3 days to set everything up and get everything perfect, and then start for recording for 12 days and then mix for 12 other. I mean, there's not enough money coming in to do that, and record companies don't take the risks anymore. I mean, at least not in the Netherlands, or if you're not signed to a major label. So the DIY way is probably the only sustainable way, which makes it possible to do that without any restrictions and from other people or so that, as you said, Mary, that we just can trust our own ideas, and I think that's what art is about. I mean, art should be rated by the ones making it, and then it's out in the open and everybody can do with it whatever they want, but it's not up to other people to decide if this art is good or it isn't. I mean, they can decide if they like it or not later on. That's fine, and nobody needs to like it necessarily. But I think the creation process needs to be so safe that the people that are creating it are not thinking about is it sellable, is it sounding as it should, but should be always only with an artistic view. Do we like that? Would we buy what we are doing? And do we love what we are? I mean, right? And because we are making it with the four of us, there's enough space to discuss things and work out if we like something or we don't like. But we don't need. I think we don't need somebody else telling us what's best for us, because we are also already critical enough. to ourselves. Yeah.
For me, it's like we discussed it a couple of years ago. I remember that for me, it's really like a pitfall that I, not that there's like any doubt from my side, but I always think like, in a way, like, is it good enough, but not creatively, but like production wise, is it good enough to be out there? And this band definitely taught me that pitfall of thinking that is not, might not even be like the case for us. But like what I'm trying to say is, I always am a little bit in doubt, like, is it good enough to put out? Is it, but if I listen to a song or to a band or to an artist that's like strange or has like a different production or a different kind of vibe going on, it's more, it stands out more to me than like the average like rock productions or things that are coming out. Like, for example, like recently I heard the new album by Thundercat, and production wise it's like different, and it's like, and I was listening to it like, I don't know what to think about it, but if I think that, I don't know what to think about it, it's a good album. Yeah. Because it triggers you in a way, and it's making you think. Mm-hmm. and I really like that. I really like that about the production and about our production, that it's different. It's like this really bombastic drum sound, like this Zeppelin vibey drum sound, and then all of a sudden there's this like Justin Timberlake kind of synthesizer on top of it, like, what's going on? And I really like that. It's sometimes I'm like, ah, oh, isn't it like too weird or too strange? And but it seems to be working out. So yeah, it's a lesson learned for me though the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but I think it's also interesting that we all have like our own influences and tastes in music, and we are all very supportive of each other's choices. And
yeah.
Sure. Yeah,
we should do a podcast on that, like on our influences.
Oh, yeah,
and
let's
stuff.
Do that.
Let's do that.
Well, we need Bart time. To be yeah. with us, but he couldn't be there today.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. You have to be there because he's got plenty to tell about that. Yeah, I'm sure about that. No, but we should do one on the inspiration next. Yeah, that should be nice. That should be good. Jan, what do you say? Like, is it different, our approach, or is it like a way that has been done by other bands as well?
Oh,
do you
it
know
probably
any?
Is. I think I think there is not one way that bands are working. I think it's always depending on so many. But I mean, even if you look at a band like Rolling Stones, it's starting with Keith and Mick doing their thing, and then the rest comes in, and so every band has their own way of doing it, and I think this approach works so well for us now that this is the way we do it now. But I mean, it could be different in a year, right?
Yeah. But it seems to
be it works out. Yeah, it works out really fine.
Yeah, I think it's like a low risk because it's like it only takes us time to do it. And what you said before, like it doesn't have to involve everyone at the same time, which works good for us. And I think, yeah, I don't know. It feels like a safe way for all of us to do what we feel adds something to a song. Yeah. I think maybe it's mostly comparable to maybe like recording a pop album, like a big production, like where the writing happens in the studio, you know, with like a producer. They're like, oh, let me add this weird synthesizer or this vocoder or whatever. But we are all doing it ourselves.
Yeah.
And we all have ways to record at home also. So... yeah, I think maybe it's kind of like that, but then we're in a different kind of genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me the same. Like what I said, it's the first time working with a band in this way. I used to go into like rehearsal rooms, and somebody came up with a riff or a song or whatever, and it 9 out of 10 times it was like, okay, this is the song, this is how we're going to play it, and this is how we're going to do it. And there was, I don't want to say not so much room for creativity, but it became less in that way, because somebody came like with the full song, like, okay, this is the song, and this is how we're going to do it, this is how we're going to play it. And I must say that working like with Maddie and Jan and Bart, like with you guys in this way, it's for me, it's really refreshing, like be able to do it ourselves. Like the do-it-yourself learning thing has been like a really great experience. Like Jan, like if I don't know some stuff in the studio, if I'm trying to figure out something on EQing or mixing, I call you, or you send me a link to a YouTube saying, oh, follow that guy, he'll tell you a little bit about like that kind of processing or how to approach that. And it's like every week that we are like working on songs or working on stuff, there's like a tutorial involved, or there's like me and Maddie sitting at home starting up Spotify, like, oh, I heard this song by I don't know, like Miley said, oh, I remember you, Maddie, coming up to like the Miley Cyrus song with the Miley Cyrus. I was like, Miley Cyrus, is this serious? Yeah. And she was like, okay, listen to it. And I was like, oh yeah, I get it. It's like the bass driven thing. And that's when we created, I don't know, like a new song based on that idea or on that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that sound is really cool. Or
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like you hear something like, oh, that's really interesting, and try to find, to incorporate it in like something you're doing, or.
And that's the way I like it, because I couldn't expect myself, or I couldn't expect like other guys, like when playing in other rock bands or metal bands or in the past, like coming up like, oh, I heard this Miley Cyrus bass line and I really like it. They probably would look at me like what are you talking about? But like in our process, it's like, oh, I like the part like where it's like a little bit mystique, and then the drum comes in, but it comes like in a different way. Mm-hmm. And that's good. And we, of course, we didn't invent the world or invent the wheel, but it's good to be inspired. And in a way, like maybe in the future, it would be nice to inspire other bands or other like kiddos starting out with music like that, you know, that would be a great honor. Yeah, so for me, it's like a fresh way of working, and it's a different approach on creativity.
Yeah, the really nice thing is you mentioned younger artists, younger bands, is that everything is out there. All the information how to do it is out there for free. I mean, that's amazing. If I look at my youth, that sounds really old school. Oh man. Okay, but
yeah, you're getting young.
But you know what I mean. I mean, when I look at what was there when we were teenagers, it was just nothing. You everything was still recorded to tape. So you needed a big studio to make a really good record.
And it cost a lot of money,
which was worth its money, obviously, because it was really great. But now it's like everybody can do anything basically with an audio interface and a good laptop, and that is in a creative way, that is fantastic. The downside is that everything is open, so everybody can also release anything, and it's getting so much that it's difficult to get through. But that's the business side. I mean, for the creativity, it's fantastic. It really is. Yeah. I mean, it has never been so easy to make a good sounding product with your own creativity for so little money.
Yeah,
and getting it out there. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
On the streaming platforms and all the stuff. Yeah, that's but that's also what I really like about working with you guys and with the band. It's like everything is out there, but we are also using it. Like we thought we taught everything ourselves. And for me, like the mixing, the recording at home, how to approach it, But the same with you, Jan, in the studio. You were, when you started like the studio and you started like doing recordings and stuff, I remember you coming up to me saying, "Hey, Paul, check out this tutorial. You need to follow that guy and read this book and blah blah blah." And it's really cool that I didn't go to engineering school or anything. And in a way, every week, every month of the year, I learned something new from the DAW that we work in, or from the kind of synthesizers we use, or from the bass the sounds that we use, or use the new forms of compression or stuff, or new approaches of compression. It every month there's something new in it, and I really like that. Really like that.
Yeah, and I think also for me is that before, like playing with this band, I used only write songs on my guitar, which I have limited skills at. And I've really learned how much I like also the production side and like creating sounds, and it's been very like freeing, I guess, like to have don't have any limitations anymore, actually. It's really it's fun. You can just sit at your computer for hours like trying to search for a sound that you're like, oh, this is really cool, and then add like distortion or whatever it is that you like want to add to it, and there's like unlimited, which also can be a little bit overwhelming, but unlimited sounds that you can create, which is just insane. Yeah,
but that's the same
thing.
Sometimes I sit there for hours and nothing. I'm like, no, it's not it. No, and I get so overwhelmed. Like, okay, I have to stop now because I've listened to every synthesizer there is in the world, I think. And
or you found a really great sound, and the next day you open your session and you think, oh, it's so crap. Let's just delete.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I must say that. There is the big advantage in working this way is also like when we recorded our very first demos, we were able to get it out there. We were able to before we went to France on the tour, we were Mike Muir, Suicide Tendency, he heard some of our demos, and like if it happened like 30 years ago or 25 years ago, you wouldn't be able to get your music out there to these
kind
of people.
Maybe on a tape, with a four-track cassette recorder in your rehearsal space. Really? I mean, that's how it was.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But in a way, there's a lot of benefits in that.
We should do that. I still have one. We should do a whole record with just four-track cassette recorder.
Didn't Dave Grohl do that with Foo Fighters on like this four-track or eight-track stuff?
I think cassette recorder. It sounds too good for that.
Oh,
yeah, cassette. Like with
a
view.
Oh, really? Oh, that sounds good. All right. Well, yeah, we should do that. But it should be a little bit scary, though. Like everything will be heard, right?
No chance for editing.
No, but it's the same like playing live. You should be right. So, yeah. All right. Okay, so thanks, guys, for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll be back soon with a new episode. All right. Bye. Say bye-bye, guys.
Bye.